This week we bring you the top 7 Xbox 360 exclusives, and this week I'm joined by Jason.
Hello, hello.
And we have quite a for you today, but as we do, I guess every week now, well, not every week, every time we do this show now, we started off with the games that actually are all honorable mentions, the games that didn't quite make the cut, and were nominated anyhow, so let's kick that off. We had Gears of War 2.
Solid game.
Solid game, and as we noted last week, one of the most influential games of the generation, of the series.
Two or one?
I think both. I mean, two, I think, added Horde mode, which became a huge, huge part of this generation.
And yeah, definitely.
I think there's no denying that. And it's a very interesting thing. We kind of mentioned this in the new IP discussion as well, is that Gears of War, to me, was a franchise that was pretty much flatlined throughout the generation. Well, okay, if you don't count Judgment, which I don't because I haven't played it yet, they're pretty
much...
You
don't need to play it, don't worry.
That's what I've heard. They're all pretty much equal in quality. Like, there are some better than others, as we'll get to later on in this list, but I feel like the difference is so minute that it can go either way, really.
Well, I think all three are quality games. I do think they improved significantly between each iteration, like from 1 to 3 at least. I thought that they made enough, like I would consider 3 the best, and then 2, and then 1, but they're all really solid games.
Yeah, which is what I mean. I think they're all solid games, but would you consider any of them like super excellent games, I guess?
I mean, to an extent, I would consider all of them, but again, I mean, and we'll get into this when we get further in the list, but like I would say 3, like of the 3.
Okay, we have Fable 2. I was actually surprised people nominated, to be honest. I've never really heard much. This is I guess the opposite of Gears of War. I've heard that as diminishing returns, the franchise gets worse and worse with each new iteration.
Well, I'll say I nominated Fable 2, and it's actually the only Fable I've played. I never played 1. I missed 1. I played 2 and enjoyed it a lot, and I thought, so far, it's like, you know, Call of Duty Ghosts is getting all this press right now for having dogs, but we forget, like, Fable 2 kind of started the whole dog thing, and then Fallout 3 came out, I think that same season, also had, like, a dog, but I thought they did that really well. I mean, the humor was pretty good. It was a fun little fantasy, like, action. I really enjoyed it, and I still haven't gotten to 3 yet. I'm planning to, but I've heard not great things about it, but I thought 2 was like one of the better RPGs I've played this generation, personally.
And I guess this is also a good place to note, I don't necessarily remember if it was Fable 2, but this is an Xbox 360 exclusive list. There were some concessions made because of the way Microsoft has their exclusives, is that if you were a Microsoft-published game and you went on PC, you counted. If you weren't a Microsoft-published game and you were on PC, it didn't count. So certain games like Left 4 Dead, which you also had for your nomination, didn't make the cut because that's more of a PC-centric release.
Right.
Even though it is exclusive to the 360 on consoles. And I was just thinking of Fable 2 because Microsoft has a tendency to release their games. I believe Gears of War 1 was a PC release.
Yeah, it even had a bonus boss fight that never made it to the console versions.
Yeah, so... Dance Central was another one that was nominated.
I thought about putting one of the Dance Centrals, but ultimately, like, I didn't think... Like, they're fun, and I think they're probably the best representation of Kinect. But at the end of the day, like, I wouldn't say the, like, core game is better than any of the things that I would have played with a controller. Or at least that are on my top 7 list.
I think Just Dance is better, too, but that's another story.
Oh, really? Interesting. I haven't heard that.
Well, it's the difference, I think, between Wii Sports and Sports Champion in that we kind of all want a more precise experience, but that also just means that it highlights your inefficiencies as a human. So I prefer Just Dance, because it does let you dance like a fool and get away with a lot more errors than Dance Central does. And I think, I mean, from I don't own any of these games. I always play them at parties, and from what I've played of both, Dance Central is also really just hard to get visual feedback on while you're dancing and you're with friends, and you may or may not have consumed some stuff. Have Forza 4.
Oh, another one I was considering, but it just didn't make the cut, but another game that I thoroughly enjoyed this generation. All the Forza games have been really good.
Yeah.
I personally like them better than
Gran
Turismo.
We'll discuss that, I assume, next week, maybe. I doubt it, but we'll see. This is one that I forgot was exclusive, but the rest of the series wasn't. Actually, there's two on this list. Dead Rising.
Oh, that's right, huh?
I mean, technically speaking, we had that report chops you drop, but nobody counts that version at all. They might as well have been two different games.
Was Dead Rising 2 was on PS3, wasn't it?
Or yeah.
No? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then
I don't know. To me, Dead Rising was like a fun demo. I'm not sure that I thought it was a great game, personally. But
no, I think there was a lot of... I mean, it was an interesting idea for a new IP, and...
Yeah, and it showcased some of the hardware capabilities at the time, you know, with just that many enemies on screen, and it had some cool stuff going on, and it was fun, but it wasn't very deep or anything.
Yeah. We have... This is one I don't even remember hearing about, but Chrome Hounds?
Oh, I also thought about putting this on my list.
Is this... I think this is a mech game?
It is. It came out within the first 6 months or so of launch, and it was it was pretty much online only. There was an offline mode that was basically like extensive training, or extensive tutorials, rather. And then the online, I thought it was pretty ahead of its time. You know, this was back in like early 2006. It's like a perpetual war, and then you fight in certain regions of like the map, and then certain battles within those regions to try to swing that region for your faction. And then every 2 weeks or whatever, the war would reset. So it was kind of this cool idea that, like, I'm surprised not more people... I've seen in some other games, I forget
which,
but...
I know there was an Xbox Live Arcade game that did something similar to that.
Yeah, so some people have taken and used it, but it wasn't, like, as pervasive as I expected it to be, and I thought it was a pretty fun game.
Actually, I think, and, you know, this is a minor thing, I believe that's what Nintendo's doing with Wii Sports, is that they're having, like, the regional brackets where you join, like, your state or your country, and depending on how you do against other things, your rank goes up.
I had not heard of that, but that sounds fantastic.
We have the original Gears of War, which, again, I think, was it... You know, it's really hard to say, because even though I do think they're equal, it is easy to see that 2 and 3 are better games, just because there were things to be fixed in Gears of War 1, and there were a lot of stuff added to Gears of War 2 and 3 that kind of rounded out the experience. We've mentioned Horde Mode. I think the other big ones that usually goes under the table, because it's expected, is a lot more variety in the multiplayer modes.
Yeah, and even the campaigns. And again, I still think Gears of War 1 is a solid game that's worth playing even today, but even the campaigns, I thought, improved from iteration to iteration, you know?
I mean, it's because I asked this question on Twitter on Saturday, and it's interesting to see, because, I mean, a lot of people kind of agree that Gears of War is pretty much a stable franchise in the regard, except for Judgment. But it also seems that people are, like, their least favorite, Gears of War isn't based on, like, the gameplay. It seems to be based on how silly the story is. Some people don't like spoilers. Some people don't like the Dom's death in Gears 3, and some people feel like the emotional...
Spoiler.
I said spoiler. And some people weren't keen on, like, the emotional moments in, like, Gears of War 2 with, like, his wife and, you know, Marcus's father and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the problem was that they came out first as like this totally kind of brainless action game, you know, with kind of a few ridiculous things going on, not the least of which was the appearance of the characters, you know. And then they tried to develop an emotional story, And I think for me, like, by the time they got to 3 and you get to Dom's fate and stuff, like, they had made that crossover for me where, like, the writing had improved and everything, and the things, like, it felt right. But I agree, for 2, like, the whole Maria storyline did feel forced, and it's just, there was a natural disconnect, you know, coming off of the first game. It's just like, yeah, eat shit and die, and you're trying to tell this story about, you know, a long lost love or whatever. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it just doesn't work. And I think, obviously that was an intentional design decision, and I think by 3, you know, the writing, like, again, got better from 1 to 2, and then from 2 to 3, like, there's significant jumps, and I thought the it got a lot better.
Yeah, I also think the music in the third one's key moment kind of hurt people, because I think it was meant to be serious, but I think a lot of people just kind of made it as a joke.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that coming, again, from the first game, you know, and the overall tone of the series, but, like, I when I played it, I, you know, took it seriously, I guess, so for it didn't get the cheesy factor, but that's just my experience.
Halo Wars.
Woo!
Well, you should woo, it's on your list, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did anyone else put it on their list? I'm curious.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. That's a good reason, as we'll get to in a bit. But a solid game. I mean, it was nice to see Microsoft try to expand the Halo IP, which they've done more outside of game recently. I mean, they've had the novel series, they have the comic books, they've had Forward Onto Dawn.
Yep.
So they've done a lot with the Halo franchise.
There's
now.
There's
a TV series coming eventually. So yeah, they've done a lot to expand on that franchise, which is good for them. I think Halo Wars, I think the idea of it makes sense. The game does have factions, it does have a specific weapons or specific types of races and stuff like that. So yeah, I think a lot of people also are hurt that fact that this is a game that got a very, very respected company closed down.
No, and that's true. That's, I mean, honestly, you have to, when if you're looking at a game though, you kind of have to separate that.
Yeah.
And
but,
I mean, that does suck. But it's not like, it wasn't Halo Wars' fault. It was just clearly a direction that Microsoft wanted to go. And it's not like Halo Wars didn't struggle. I believe it sold a lot of copies and made some profits. So it's not like the release of Halo Wars shut down the company unless they had it dead. But I don't know. For me, like, the biggest complaint, I think, with Halo Wars is people think it's not the deepest or, you know, whatever, RTS. But as someone who doesn't play a lot of RTS games, like, that was perfect. And the whole Halo, you know, world, like, using all the units and everything, like, that was enough to draw me in. And, like, oh, like, I instantly understand what all these different units are because I've played, you know, 3 first-person shooters in this world already. So it was really, I thought it was really well done. They did a lot of stuff that, you know, I really thought they made RTS work on the console. And finally, like, there's just, I think I had a bigger experience with this game than maybe some other people, because me and my friends from high school would just play this all the time. Like, even to this day when we, like, because we're all, you know, moved all over the place now, but when we come together, we usually get in a game of Halo Wars for, like, old time's sake. And it's just so, I have a little bit more of an attachment than maybe other people do.
Okay.
But it was a fun game.
I haven't played it because I wasn't into RTSs, but I do like the idea of making an RTS that is more capable to be played on the consoles, because it is a pretty PC-dominant genre. We also had Geometry Wars 2, which, again, good game. We kind of mentioned it last week with our most influential games. The original, as far as getting off independent and digital downloads, that's a big part of this generation.
Yep. Was that the first Geometry Wars?
No, the first one doesn't count technically. Well, I mean, it was for our influence last week, but it doesn't count because it was ported over to the Wii eventually.
I guess so.
Yeah. And then this is another one I mentioned earlier with Dead Rising, where it's interesting because I didn't remember the first one staying exclusive, but Saints Row.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't remember that either.
Yeah, Saints Row 1 never made it to the PS3. Everything else has. So yeah. So that brings us to our list, and kind of a, I guess, connection. As we noted during the first week of this series, anytime we have a tie, we go with the game that appears on the most list. In this case, we had a three-way tie for our number 7 position. I know it's going to be hated for my number one pick and one of the tied games, because it's not technically a game, but 1 versus 100. One of my favorite experiences this generation, and I was sad that Microsoft, I assume they couldn't find a way to monetize that property, because it's a great idea.
Yeah. I actually almost put this on my list too, and it was another one that just got cut based on, you know, what was ahead of it for me. But I thought it was a great idea too, and I was really sad when it died. I think what kept it off my list was that I didn't think, like, I thought the idea was better than the execution. Like, I didn't think they could have done a better job with really making it more, I don't know, like, I never got a chance to be the one, for example. And I thought they could have done a better job of, like, you know, maybe splitting it up so that more people could, you know, be the one or get a shot at that or something along those lines.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as an actual, I guess, a game show, is that, you know, how many people submit applications and how many people actually get in. And I do think, you know, for as much as I love it and as much as people do love it, it was a really short-lived service. It was just in a year, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I think the only times you got to be the one were during the live shows. Everything else was kind of a group. And that's really, I mean, I love that game show aspect, but I also love the fact that it was a game I could play with friends without, it was, and it was kind of that casual game. It's a game you can play with friends, you can play with family. Everybody would get involved because it's trivia. Everybody loves trivia. And they gamified it in such a way that it was fun, it was novel. And you never really felt cheated because it's not like you got one wrong and then you had to sit out for the rest of the game.
Right.
So, yeah. The other one was your number one pick, Alan Wake.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, actually, that it didn't make the overall list. I can only assume we had a lot of people that didn't play it.
I would imagine, based on sales, that is accurate.
Yeah, I mean, which, you know, it's a reality. It kind of sucks, but, I mean, that speaks for itself. I had it number one on my list. I thought it was a great game. It was a really unique game. It still is. I implore people who are curious about it to, you know, give it a try and or its downloadable semi-sequel, American Nightmare. And, I don't know, really for me it's just, I'm not even a big horror guy, so maybe I've heard, you know, horror fans didn't really like the, it's more action-y than they expected, but I thought it struck a perfect balance, really unique world, you know, just totally, and a really solid game mechanics too, and interesting characters, like the whole spiel. So,
yeah. What was it called? Your Ouija Mansion for adults.
In a way, I guess with a flashlight. Sure, it's a, but it's, you know, definitely more. I don't know. Oh, I mean, it's obviously it's more serious. I guess it's less whimsical than a Luigi's Mansion, obviously.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, and now we get to the fun part of all this, because this was nobody's number one pick. I don't even know if it cracked anybody's top five, but, and that, no pun intended, as we'll get to, but Crackdown was our number 7 pick, because I think it appeared on 3 people's list.
Ah,
so,
and another one that was almost on mine.
Yeah, I mean, it was really kind of the start of the huge, the superhero open world genre that we got this generation with this. We got Infamous, we got Prototype, and eventually that's kind of what Saints Row became.
Yeah, that's true. That is what Saints Row became. And don't forget all the, you know, the Spider-Mans and the...
Yeah, and I mean, technically, I guess Arkham City's open world.
Yep.
Yeah, we had Superman Returns, which is open world as well. But yeah, we have, you know, it has kind of become a subgenre, and this is kind of the start of it. It was a really well-done game. And it's one of the few open world games, and this might sound negative or bad, but that has actually done playing a cop well. Because a lot of other open world games, and True Crimes comes to mind, which is one of the ones I played to Ask Jen, was like, because you were playing the good guy, you got... You got it was so hard to play the good guy in this open world setting where they're causing destruction and mayhem. So what the game would do is penalize you for that, and then if you're kind of having to play it safe, it's not fun anymore. Like, I don't want an open world game where I have to drive the speed limit or
right.
Yeah. So this game was like, you know what,
you're
a cop,
yeah.
But you're a super cop. You do whatever. I'm not gonna take the road. I'm just gonna jump from building to building. And the only thing I do dislike about this game is the tediousness of the orb collection. So, Crackdown, our number 7 game of the generation.
Well, see, the orb collection, though, is kind of what made that game such a hit, in a way. I mean, it was the first game to really nail, I thought, that kind of open-world collectability. Like, I remember spending hours just jumping around the city looking for all those stupid green orbs, you know, and like a lot of games that came after it tried to replicate that, and some successfully and a lot unsuccessfully, including its own sequel. So,
yeah, I will say this much, and this is probably why I'm bitter. There was a bug in the game that they patched, and when they patched it, there was some weird workaround that they didn't advertise, but basically, when they patched it, it erases all your progress. And so, like, it erased your character's progress. So, like, I had beaten the game, but, like, all my orbs and all my status had been reset.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing this again. And
no.
That game cold turkey, because I loved it. It had co-op, which is another thing that I think became pretty big in open world, is, like, co-op online where you don't,
yeah,
have
that's right.
You don't have to be together, which is a huge thing. You can compete.
Yeah, it was, like you said, ahead of its time. And I remember sinking hours into that, too. That was really fun experience.
Yeah, ton of fun. Again, getting direct stuff. Our number 6 game, a number 6 Xbox 360 exclusive, is Halo 3. Finish the fight
before you keep on fighting.
Yeah, which turned out to be completely inaccurate as we learned over the course of this generation. The fight had just begun, and I think, I don't know what to say about Halo 3 now, because I feel like it has been surpassed by almost every one of its sequels this generation, which is a good thing.
And, you know, and other first-person shooters, too. Because at the time it came out, it was kind of, you know, the flag bearer of
it was the flag bearer. It wasn't kind of, it was the flag bearer.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I don't, yeah, you're right.
And it was kind
so
of,
it's just, we're now basically a generation later, just about, and just, it's not, in as that game from 2007 stands now, it's not nearly as impressive as it was at the time. But, you know, it was at one point the talisman of that genre and that series. And it was an extremely well-designed game, I thought.
Yeah. And it had
four-player co-op, that was the first series. It was great.
Yes, huge boom, something that they continued on. I think, and this, you know, opinions will vary. I think multiplayer, for a lot of people, works best in 3. At least this generation, I know a lot of people prefer 2. As you get further into the series, people are very iffy, wishy-washy on the series because of stuff they've added later on.
Yeah, I think everyone has their own kind of preference.
Yeah.
I think every Halo game has kind of been, you know, feels kind of distinct from one another in the multiplayer, like more so than like other series in the genre have, like, you know, from like a Call of Duty, each successive year feels a lot more alike than each Halo does.
Yeah.
Like, for me personally, I enjoyed 4 the best, but, you know, there's a lot of people like 3 or 2 or Reach.
Well,
or even ODST, I'm sure.
Well, ODST is my favorite, one of my favorite
games. There you go.
We'll get to that in a second. Our number 5 Xbox 360 game of the generation is Halo 4.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, everyone has their own preference. I feel like it's kind of a pick-em.
a lot of people have preferences, but I think the biggest tell of this one is how fast the online community has dropped off this title.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot more competition now in that space. Like, when Halo 3 came out, that's all anyone was pretty much playing online.
Well, yeah, I mean, for a while, but I mean, Modern Warfare was right around the corner. It came out.
Right. And that's, I mean, but that was the first game to really challenge Halo's hegemony in not just first-person shooters, but online multiplayer at all.
Yeah, but even still, I think it has a bigger fall-off than Halo 3, than ODST, than Reach had.
Well, sure, but, like, I mean...
It's just really... And I don't really know what was broken about. I do think, as you mentioned before, Halo 3 was a flag bearer. Halo 3 was kind of a very unique shooter.
Yeah.
By the time you get to Halo 4, it's really trying to be Call of Duty.
Well, it definitely added some of those elements, and, you know, part of it is the series getting longer in the tooth, part of it's more competition, part of it's just more distraction in general. I mean, it came at a time where the industry is on a little bit, or at least consoles, were on a little bit of a decline. You know, there's more people playing, like, mobile games and stuff, and...
Yeah, I just...
It came into a different world, I think. Like, I thought it was... the best. I thought it was incredible what they got out of the 360 on that.
Oh, it's
game.
A gorgeous looking game.
I mean, my God.
But yeah, I think part of it. I also think sometimes that works against it. I know a lot of people don't get, complain about the excessive bloom in that game, and it does kind of get annoying at times. I remember there's certain parts where you can hardly see in front of you because there's so much sunlight or whatever. But yeah, it's a, you know, none of the Halo games are bad.
Right. It's kind of like Gears of War. Like, well. Yeah, more or less.
Well, I think there's a difference between that and Gears of War, because there are clear distinctions between quality campaigns. I think, for instance, I know a lot of people hate 2 because of the non-ending. And ODST, I know a lot of people dislike because of the setup, the format.
Right.
So yeah, there are clear distinctions in that regard.
I kind of like, I mean, we're going to talk about it, but I kind of like ODST. Well, I'll just wait till we get there.
Well, thanks for the spoilers. Our number 4 game on this is not Halo related, finally. Shadow Complex.
Yeah! Good old Shadow Complex. Still waiting for the sequel to that one.
Shadow Complex, I think... What? Shadow Complex is a very interesting game, in that it's enjoyable, it's fun, but I think a lot of people were able to... It was very generic. But it's generic in a way that we don't get many of these games, so it stood out anyhow.
I would argue that it's not generic.
It's Metroid.
Other than its protagonist.
I would say it's Metroid with Nathan Drake.
But it's kind of Metroid, but it like obviously it's in the Metroid style or Metroid Castlevania, whatever.
But I don't know what Castlevania brings to that, but that's not a subject.
Well, okay, but. But it's done in a wholly original way otherwise. Like, obviously, you know, you would put them in that category.
Yeah, but I don't...
They have similar mechanics, but, like, it's not like they're copy-pasting, you know,
well, they kind
game
of,
mechanics.
The only thing I really think they changed up from Super Metroid would be the ability to kind of shoot into the foreground and background. Other than that, it's a pretty similar setup. Again, it's not a bad thing, per se. I mean, we've done sequels this entire generation. We've done similar titles. It happens. I like Shadow Complex. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess, I mean, there's a little bit more of a stealth element. I mean, you're fighting humans and mechs and stuff.
Cosmetically, there's differences, but...
But even the weapons, I mean, other than the kind of... Speed Dash clone. Like, I don't really think any of the weapons really correlate between the two. Well, anyway, regardless, it was a really cool game. I'm really sad we haven't gotten some sort of follow up yet.
What is that company doing these days?
Infinity Blade.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess there is.
I mean, you can't blame them when they're making the kind of money they are in Infinity
Blade.
Yeah,
but even
Blade, right? To their credit, they say Shadow Complex 2 is going to happen eventually, but who knows?
On iOS.
Well,
which I'm sure you wouldn't complain about if you still got
it. Well, it would depend how they did. Obviously, they would have to completely rethink the controls. So if they could do that in a way that works with touch controls, then sure. But as the game is designed right now, I'd want to play that with a gamepad.
Yeah. Our number 3 Xbox 360 exclusive for the generation. Halo ODST.
Woo!
Woo-hoo. personally speaking, my favorite campaign in the Halo series because it's so radically different. It's different from any major release, though. Yeah. I mean, it's done with flashbacks, but it's done in such a unique way that you'd never feel like you're missing out or like you're being cheated because of this. It doesn't star Master Chief, which I think helps, because by the time Halo...
Stars Nathan Fillion.
By the time Halo 3 rolled around, he was pretty much a superhero by the end of that.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing, but, no. You know, it's harder and harder to kind of give your champion challenge when he can pretty much do
it. Well, he's kind of a superhero from the first game, to be fair.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he destroyed his enemy in the third one. Like, there's nowhere for you to go. Granted, that isn't true because they made it Halo 4, but...
You give him a new enemy.
Yeah. But at the time, he had to, you know, you finished the fight. It was a very popular brand. Microsoft probably wanted to continue it, so they focused on support. And I think focusing on the ODSTs was a great thing. It helps with world building. It helps kind of reintroduce enemies as bigger threats because, again, when you don't have Master Chief there and you realize that he's like this super soldier, and you have these average soldiers dealing with it, everything becomes a chore. One of the biggest aspects of that was the not complete removal, but they did kind of, I guess, edit the health system where you didn't have constantly respawning health. You had shields, you had to find health packs throughout the maps.
Yep.
Stuff like that. And that helped with the pace, and that helped, you know, make it different because every fight was an actual fight. And it was like, I took too much damage. I'm going to retreat for now, get my bearings, and come back when I can better deal with this. So that was a huge, you know, difference. And it was something they carried on with the rest of the series, where you still had shields, but they kind of regenerated. You had shields, and then you had like a health bar, which is what they did with, I believe, Halo Reach in 4. So yeah, it was a fun addition, and it's a minor thing. I do kind of miss health bars in first-person shooters. Orange games in general is not something we get anymore because it can be a tired game design if you don't do it properly.
Yeah, I think you definitely have to do it right. In general, I prefer regenerating health, but...
Regenerating health allows you to do more with the upper design because you don't have to worry about, okay, our player just kind of got through this fight, so he needs to kind of get health there.
Yeah.
So... we can't make this fight too intensive with stuff like that. But it does, or, you know, you have the RPG trope where whenever, and I'm sure you've had this happen before, you get to a room and you find a bunch of crates with health packs and stuff like that. Oh, boss battle's coming up because they want me to heal up. It does kind of predict story moments for you in that regard. But yeah, Halo ODST. Oh, it also introduced Firefight to the series. And sadly enough, it was the best version of Firefight for the series.
Yeah.
I don't know why they ruined it.
There's no Firefight in 4, right? They went with Spartan Ops.
Yeah, yeah. And then they did that with... I understand why they did it, but it was, like, really broken. Because in Reach, they did it where you... What is it? They did it where you had a time limit. Like, you had, like... It was like, 15 minutes, can you survive for that and whatever, instead of like, okay, you have like 10 waves and it's going to take you an hour and a half with friends. And we're going to be a dick and give you an achievement for completing all of these with a certain set of points. And me and my friends would do that all the time. It was a ton of fun. It was annoying as hell, but it was camaraderie. It built team spirit. So yeah, Halo ODST, our number 3 game.
I just want to say before we move on really quick, like, I like it too. Like, it's kind of a black sheep in the series, like you're saying, but I like that about it also. And I kind of equate it to, like, a Majora's Mask, where I love how different it is from every other game in the series, and it's a phenomenal game. Do I necessarily like it more? I don't know, but I love that how it's different.
Yeah. Yeah, and it stands out, especially in a very, not necessarily the Halo franchise, but very samey first-person shooter market. It's a very distinctive style of storytelling. our number two game of the generation, and you probably guessed this if you were paying attention to our honorable mentions, is Gears of War 3.
Yep. Deserved.
Again, I think it's a combination of everything Gears had going for it. Story can be iffy, like we said. I feel like some of the emotional moments aren't really earned, and the final boss is a chore. But other than that, it's a continuation of the fantastic co-op, four-player co-op for the first time in the franchise, which is a big boon as well.
Oh my god. And, oh, you know, what we haven't really talked about is how big co-op, well, I guess you guys talked about it in the influential podcast, but how big of a boon co-op was for that whole series. I mean, it kind of brought co-op campaigns to the forefront, and me personally, I've played the campaigns exclusively in co-op. Because
that is completely me. This is one of the reasons I'm still just kind of disappointed Call of Duty hasn't done co-op campaigns yet.
Yeah.
But yes,
I mean, it's kind of just so baked into the DNA of the game. Like, Halo, I don't mind playing by myself because, you know, it's fun to play with other people, but, like, I've been playing Halo games before there was co-op, right? Or, well, I guess there was split-screen co-op in 1, and I did do that too. But, you know what I mean? That's more of a, like, the online co-op in Gears of War, like, 1, really brought that to the forefront, and they really tie that into the design of the game. Even if it's ridiculous sometimes, where it's like, hey, we both need to hold the door to open it, even though one of us can clearly open it by ourselves. But
or kick it down.
Yeah, or kick it down or whatever. But, I mean, that stuff I can deal with because they do a really good job with the co-op.
Yeah.
And that's not even getting into, like, the horde modes and the beast modes and that stuff.
Yes,
which is,
you know, like we mentioned with kind of Halo going from ODST to Reach with its firefight, Horde mode has only improved with time, and we got Beast mode, which is another interesting addition to the franchise where you got to play as the enemies.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like reverse tower defense.
Yeah.
You get all the Locust Horde at your disposal.
Well, not all of them. You have to earn them, which is another. It has that Call of Duty kind of rollout. As you improve, as you do stuff in a level, you get more and more access to more and more enemies and stronger enemies. Because it makes sense. Because if you get like Brewmacher like first round, it's just gonna be awful.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's a ton of fun. It changes up how you play. Personally speaking, this is probably just the only thing is I felt it was short if because I think Beast Mode. I think eventually they patched it so Beast Mode also had a human versus human element. I could be mistaken.
I don't remember.
I know originally it was just human versus CPU. And, like, once you kind of did all the maps and you did all the waves, there wasn't much else to it. But it's still a ton of fun. It's a fantastic experience. You know, I don't know of any third-person shooter on the market better than Gears of War right now.
Or throughout the generation.
Throughout the generation, yeah.
Yeah. That's basically what you said.
Yeah, a lot of people have tried to copy it, and some have succeeded in some ways, but it's, you know, it's a satisfying franchise. I still think the answer, the chainsaw gun, is amazing.
Oh my god.
Overkill, but amazing.
What a ridiculous thing, or like, ridiculously awesome thing.
Yeah,
a weapon with a chainsaw.
Yeah, and I still hold out that I am super disappointed that more games haven't copied the active reload ability.
Yeah, I agree. That's another one of those mechanics.
It's so minor, but it adds so much to the game.
Yeah, and it's something so simple, and it makes something that you do that's typically like a chore, and it gives you it gamifies it to make that small little action that you do like hundreds of times just another element of the game. And I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, fantastic idea. Which brings us to our number one game of the Xbox 360 exclusive of the generation, which if you've been paying attention to this, you probably already figured it out.
Yeah.
It's Halo 4.
Reach?
I mean, not Reach. Here we go. Halo Reach, which is technically Halo 4, but whatever.
I don't know. I already said I like 4 the best. I also like Reach a lot. I mean, the one mission where you get to fight in space was definitely my favorite part of that game.
Yeah, which is actually something they haven't done in the franchise before after that. No, actually,
I mean, there's a lot of banshee fighting, and in 4 you fly like other things, like a pelican and stuff. So they, but like, I don't know, it was kind of a cool little thing.
Yeah.
It reminded, you know what? I like it because it reminded me a lot of Star Wars Rogue Squadron, and I'm still pleading for a new or a new version of that game, or like an HD re-release or something.
Or something. I would also say that it has one of... I mean, I mentioned that I like ODST, but I also think Halo Reach has a fantastic story as well. And I think it's because in general, I don't like the idea of prequels because you have to... You pretty much have to work towards an idea that we already know. In
right.
this case, we know our heroes can't survive because...
Which is a very interesting and unique premise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, usually you kind of know what happens to the heroes. You know, this is one of the things with Star Wars, is like, we eventually know that Anakin becomes Darth Vader. So it's basically a quest to see how he becomes Darth Vader. Here, you know they can't survive. So how does the game kind of get you invested in the heroes who you know can't survive the end of the game? And they do a terrific job of it, and they do a terrific job of kind of showing you that they continue to fight, even when the odds are stacked against them. And... The final stage, if you will, I guess, or with them kind of finally being overcome by everything after you fought so hard, was done in such a manner that I didn't feel cheated that, like, after all this, my characters were being beaten to death.
Yeah, no, I thought they definitely, oh, you're talking about, like, the epilogue?
Yeah.
The epilogue, I thought, was, very well done, and very, I don't know, it was one of those, like, I don't really know how to describe how I felt while playing it, but it was great. Like, it, you know, for all the reasons you're saying, like, you didn't feel cheated. You got to, it's just a unique way to end a video game, I thought. And it fit really well with the themes of the story and everything. And, I mean, and the build up to that, you know, like, I mean, sort of spoilers, this game's pretty old, but like, as you gradually, like, lose the members of your team. And I think, you know, Bungie being able to kind of defocus off Master Chief and split their, for both ODST and Reach, split their kind of writing into like multiple characters in a squad. Like, I thought that was really interesting. You have all these different personalities and, you know, you get attached and you slowly lose them and they all have like a very valiant way they go out. And then for you, the player, you know, at the very end to go out the way you do, I think is very fitting of that.
Yeah. And I also think it was the, and, you know, again, we kind of mentioned this with the other ones where it's iffy, but I do think it was the proper evolution of the multiplayer, and I do think it's a ton of fun. I think the armor abilities were a nice addition to the game. Some of them were kind of broken eventually. They were patched and fixed in some ways and broken in other ones, but I thought it was a novel thing because everybody gets, like, this one unique ability that they decide to pick up. And it changes the feel, it changes how you play against people, it changes what you do, it changes your role on a team, if your team's communicative. Sometimes it's just a bunch of people doing their own thing and not really working together.
Yeah, you can say that a lot, too, of, well, I guess, yeah, I mean, a lot of the Halo games are a lot of shooters. I get what you're saying. It kind of comes to the forefront with the armor abilities and stuff.
Yeah, because, like, you would want the guy with a armor lock to be in the front so that he can get, you know, people can shoot him and he can go into this and he can kind of take out the people before they realize what's going on and stuff like that. Which, again, works if you're a team that's a well-oiled machine and not necessarily a team that's doing, as I like to call it whenever I play with my friends, Rambo style, which is you just kind of run out in front shooting stuff until you die. It was... The OU2 misfires, I would say, would be the diminished role of firefight in this game, and I really don't think Invasion was well thought out.
I was just gonna say, well, okay, I'll give you that. It wasn't maybe executed as well as it could have been, but I really liked the idea, and I liked that mode, and it's kind of sad that it wasn't in 4. But it's kind of like it was basically kind of riffing off, you know, Battlefield, one of Battlefield's main modes. I forget what it's called. Rush, I think.
But yeah, the idea of the mode is intriguing. The execution of the mode, if that ought to be desired.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Like,
and also, I think it also was hurt by the fact that I believe at launch it had two maps.
Yeah, I think so.
And
maybe
I think
even
that
just
was,
one. I don't remember.
I think it had more than. I think it was.
It might have two. Sounds more accurate.
Yeah, I mean they kind of repurposed some of those maps later on, but yeah, that was also another problem. I think is that when it launched, it was very distinctly divided up. So even though it had like 10 or 12 maps, it was like, oh, you. Two of these maps are for invasion, like a few of these are for firefight, a few of these are for big team. It's like
yeah.
Any one mode had a very tiny number of maps.
Right.
Which is something that I think really hurt them. And I think it's something that they continued with Halo 4 to a lesser degree, but I still dislike that. Like, I understand that like, you don't want a huge, wide open map for people because you can't find anybody. But you should find some way to kind of shrink that map to reuse it because, yeah, you have, like, you have a finite number of maps at launch and they kind of say, like, okay, this one's cordoned off to this Treyas and this one's on this Treyas. It's like, okay.
Right.
So, like, if I don't like this Treyas, I don't see this map. Or I see the same maps all the time if I play the same Treyas. Which is a problem I have with Halo 4 because there's certain stages I see all the time. Like, Haven.
Yeah, but I would agree with what you said earlier that Halo 4 does a little bit better of a job of its map design being more, you know, open to a larger variety of game types.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, isn't it crazy to think that Halo Reach is the last game we saw from Bungie? And it's our number one.
Well, we have Destiny soon enough. But as a recap, our top 7 Xbox 360 excuses, and I guess I should explain this before we count this on again. The reason we did excuses for this is because I felt like if Xbox 360 excuses, and the reasons we did excuses for this and next week's PlayStation 3 show, is I felt like if we didn't, our Game of the Generation show in, I guess 3 weeks from now, would have been a very similar list to these two lists, and I felt like the Xbox and the PS3 might have shared way too many games to kind of make it a very distinct episode. We will be covering. Actually, I can't say there's going to be a ton of multi-platforms on our games of the generation show. There might be enough excuses. I can assure you, personally speaking, there will not be 4 Halo games on our Game of the Generation. that much is true.
I think we should. We'll probably have a good amount of multi-platform games, though.
Yeah. Well, we will see in a couple of weeks. But that is in a couple of weeks. Speaking of, I might as well plug this before. I mean, you already know the top 7. But we also just put up today, Sunday, as of this recording, the day before, our Nerds with Words Game of the Generation post, which is just basically a bunch of questions. You don't have to answer them, which is a terrible advertisement, I know, but basically you can call us, email us, tweet us, anything, leave us a message about your discussion about this Game of the Generation, some of your favorite games, some of your least favorite games, some of, you know, great experiences, consoles you had, and overall, whatever you thought, and we'll try to get as many of them as possible into the show in a couple of weeks. I believe this one is in 2 weeks when we do our general purpose, just kind of a recap show, just kind of, this won't be formal. It won't have a list. It won't be us counting down. It will just be us discussing games. It will be discussing what we liked, what we didn't like, what we expect from next gen, I guess, where we see all three companies going. And yes, you know, this, I mean, it hasn't been devoid of Wii Talk recently. I do know we're not doing a top 7 Wii game because that came out last year with the Wii U. But we will, I want to do one, since we didn't do one formally on the podcast, I do want to do one maybe in December after the launch of these two, because there's really no good time now because, you know, artists is focused on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One.
Well, maybe what we can do is run through Wii, PSP, DS, maybe even PC.
Okay, we can do that.
Just kind of jam those into one of those podcasts while we're trying to catch up on the Game of the Year candidates.
Yeah, because we have not done a DS or a PSP one either. We actually haven't really been terrible with handheld discussion on any of these things. But yes, check that out. You know, give us a call. It's Google Voice, so you don't have to worry about us creeping out on you. Email dw@nerdsontherocks.com. You can find us on Twitter at duel_wielding or you can leave it at Nerds on the Rocks. You can find us on Facebook at Nerds on the Rocks, All the World In. You can find us on Google Plus if you actually use that service on Nerds on the Rocks. Leave us a message. Doesn't matter how long or how short it is. If you're shy, and a lot of people are, you don't have to leave us a voicemail. We will read off anything you send to us, as long as it's not full of explicits and all that fun jazz. But just as a recap, our top 7 Xbox 360 exclusives were number 7, Crackdown, number 6, Halo 3, number 5, Halo 4, number 4, Shadow Complex, number 3, Halo ODST, number 2, Gears of War 3, number 1, Halo Reach. Anything you want to add before we begin to wrap?
Nope.
Okay. So, for Jason and myself, this has been New World In Game of the Generation, Xbox 360 exclusive. We'll catch you next week with our PlayStation 3 list, and until then, have a good week.